7 verses 1 and 5 after the sermon. Beloved congregation, last week we heard how God's word was brought to Syria. It came to a great man and by a little girl. Naaman had made it in life. He enjoyed power, honor, and wealth. What more could he wish for? But he was leprous. It's a picture of our natural state before God. We were also reminded of God's mysterious and adorable providence. What a deep, steep, and bumpy road did that little girl have to go? And all because God loved Naaman. Today, we write as theme above the sermon, Naaman seeks and finds healing. Naaman seeks and finds healing. Three thoughts, 3 points. First, encouragement in the palace. Second, disappointment with the prophet. And lastly, joy at the Jordan River. Naaman seeks and finds healing, encouragement in the palace, disappointment with the prophet, joy at the Jordan River. The history of Naaman is well known, but it's not all about history itself. It's about its edification for us today. Because by nature, we are all like Naaman. No, I don't think none of us have as much power as Naaman, have as much honor as Naaman, or wealth as Naaman. But we do have the same diagnosis. We are leprous spiritually from head to toe. And if nothing happens, we will die. Not only physically, but also spiritually, eternally. So this history is about you and about me. Congregation, did last week's sermon remind you of your spiritual leprosy? Have you perhaps come to God tonight, to God's house, with that awareness? I'm leper. How can I be saved? If not, you're still blind to it. Beg the Lord to open your eyes for it and say it. I am that man. I am that woman. But I don't see it. I don't feel it. I don't sense it. The little girl's great testimony of faith has convinced Naaman. He took it to his king, who wrote a letter to the king of Israel. But the little girl has not been listened to properly, because she didn't speak of the king in Israel. She spoke of the prophet. And this little girl didn't mention anything about money either. And yet Naaman takes a fortune with him. What lessons have we to learn here? We are exactly like Naaman, or not? After all, there's nothing in life for free, is there? Healing, forgiveness, redemption, it all has a price. Yes, for the giver it has a price, but not for the receiver. We heard that the last time. We often think that there's something necessary that we have to take along to be saved. It doesn't happen just like that. I have to take along my worthiness. I have to take along my self-righteousness. I should be more sorry for my sins. I should live more holy life. Then there will be more hope of salvation. But congregation, deep down we want to be saved by our own works. Deep down we are Roman Catholic. No, we don't approach God through Saint Mary or others. We have our own saints. Our Saint Humility, our Saint Brokenness, our Saint Holiness. If we know something of those, we will gain more boldness to go unto the Lord. You can't just go to the prophet. You have to bring something along, right? And that's the exact opposite of the gospel. The gospel asks nothing. The gospel is that God says, I do everything without money and without price. Everything you need comes from me. That's very humbling. But also, I hope you know and experience that it is also very liberating. Naaman knew that he could not heal himself, and that there was no one in Syria who could help him. The girl had told him that the prophet could help him. Are we convinced of this? No, let's not talk about if we have enough conviction, whether or not it's deep enough. True conviction is not that we fear hell. True conviction is also not that we are so afraid of judgment that we can't sleep at night. Hell is full of such people. Conviction is real when it brings me to the feet of the Lord Jesus, the prophet. Because I become more and more convinced of my own sin and my guilt. Because I see more and more that I can't possibly improve myself. So, Naaman goes to Israel. Not to the prophet, but to the king. And the king of Israel sees the request as a threat from Syria. How can he heal that leper? Read it in verse 7. Am I God to kill and make alive? King Joram does not even have a fraction of the faith of his little kidnapped subject. Although he knows about the raising of the son of the Shunammite from the dead, yet he does not call the prophet for this case. No, Joram has no expectation. So he tears his clothes to pieces in unbelief. Imagine. A wealthy, honorable heathen standing in front of the king of Judah, Joram, because of the testimony of that little girl. He had made this great journey, and now that unbelieving king, what a disappointment. Will it be death after all? Is there no healing after all? Will Naaman now go home like this? No.
Why not?
Because God loves Naaman. Naaman must be brought to God. And therefore, God has his servant bring a message to the palace. Read it in the closing of verse 8. Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come on now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. This is not only an exhortation to the unbelieving Joram, but is also an encouragement and an instruction for Naaman. His case is not hopeless. If only he had listened carefully to the girl's testimony, he would have been spared of this trial. Naaman has to learn to walk by the way of the Word. That Word leads him further to the prophet. Do we recognize that, congregation? That the Word teaches, that the Word of God encourages us to go the way of the Word. After all, you must be with the prophet. So Naaman goes from the palace to the prophet. This brings us to our second point, disappointment with the prophet. There he goes, children. You see him going? This honorable man, this wealthy man, there he goes with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elijah. Do you see him standing there or sitting there on his chariot? In all his splendor, there he waits for the prophet to come out of the house. But Elisha does not come out of the house. Considering Naaman's reaction to what's about to happen, he must still have had high expectations of himself as he waits there in front of the house. Congregation, once again, we see a picture of our natural condition, perhaps aroused, encouraged to go the way of the Word, but still so self-satisfied, so full of sin, so full of self-righteousness, and unaware of being wholly dependent on divine grace alone. Like Naaman, we too are naturally filled with a sense of self-importance and pride in addition to our sins of commission. Naaman's pride must be revealed to him. And that is why God treats him this way. That's why Elisha does not come out of the house. He does not even greet him. Only his messenger comes out of the house and has a message: go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. We see here that for God there are no important persons. To him all people are equal. We see here that a sinner must learn that God's grace is grace alone. We also see that it's all about the message, the Word, and not the messenger. It's all about God's glory. Think about what these words mean to Naaman. It's to come out of his beautiful chariot. He has to take off his clothes. He has to wash himself in the Jordan River, which for much of the year is not larger than a small creek. He must wash himself 7 times in that shallow water. His silver and his gold can't help him, nor can the letter of his king help him. Nothing. Only the word of the prophet. Naaman's reaction is clear and also very understandable. But Naaman was wroth. Children, Naaman becomes furious, turns around and wants to go home. Aren't the rivers in his homeland much better? With those words, he rejects the redemption offered to him by the God of Israel. Is this not recognizable, congregation? Doesn't this also live in our hearts? Maybe he was offended that the prophet didn't come out of the house. But he was certainly offended at what the prophet told him to do. And yet, there is another reason why Naaman became so furious and angry. We read it in verse 11. Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. It is those words. I thought. They are words that come very close to us. I thought it has to be this way. I thought it had to go that way. I thought first this happens and then that happens. I thought. Naaman thought he knew beforehand how he was to be healed. And therein lies the problem for many lepers today. Some of you are struggling with your leprosy in a greater or a lesser degree. Some of you come to church Sunday after Sunday with the feeling of leprosy, with sins in your heart and in your mind. You come with your need and with your burden, maybe for years already. And it only gets worse. Why? Is there no blood that cleanses from all sin? Is there no salvation in the Lord Jesus? Is he not offered to you? Could it be that you are stuck in your own wrong thoughts, just like Naaman? A sinner often has his own idea of how to get rid of leprosy and obtain salvation. I thought the rivers of Damascus, they are better. The one thinks it just doesn't going to work that way. That method is not good enough, too simple. I have to do something to receive forgiveness. Another thinks that his sinful past can be atoned by doing better from now on. And someone else thinks that he has understood the gospel by believing in Christ, that he has a right to heaven while he continues to live in the flesh and keeps his idols. He believes that he believes. He believes that he, she believes. Whatever the case, they all have this in common. I thought. And it is contrary to God's word and way. The word of the prophet is too simple. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's too easy. Congregation, we rather prefer going through the greatest difficulties to be saved. If Elisha had said unto Naaman, "You must crawl on your knees to Egypt and your leprosy will be gone," then Naaman would have done it. But now that he has to wash himself 7 times in the Jordan River, he becomes furious. Isn't that recognizable? Enmity against free grace. Now, just to simply believe without adding anything from our side in the salvation and the forgiveness that God offers us in the word of his gospel, no, that's too easy. But that's not easy at all. If God himself does not work it, Naaman would have returned as a leper and died. Naaman doesn't want to get off his beautiful chariot. Naaman doesn't want to take off his nice clothes. He doesn't want to go down in that dirty, shallow stream. Congregation, what does the Lord ask of us? You who have been burdened by leprosy for so long, what does he say? Does he say, "Go"? No. He says, "Come unto me, rest on my work, rest on my blood, on my righteousness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live." Please don't seek redemption in yourself. Not in your own performances, not in your own experiences, not in your dignity or humility. Discard all your pride and self-righteousness. Let the Lord take care of your leprosy. You don't have to have anything. The only thing we need, God gives in his Son. The Jordan in this history is a picture of that. The River Jordan is a picture of Christ. That is the way Naaman must go. That is also the way for sinners like Naaman. Naaman runs away from that, and so do we, if God does not forbid. What a disappointment with the prophet. But Naaman is held back. God breaks down pride and self-reliance. And in that way, he gives Naaman joy at the Jordan River. Our last point. We see in verse 13 that God is not yet finished with Naaman. He has started a good work in that man. He will accomplish that too. For just as Naaman makes a fatal decision to return home, his servants stepped forward and begin to speak, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do something great, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean?" Notice how these servants lovingly address their master, "My father." Do we see therein our relation to our employee? "My father." These employees, they also really have their boss's best interest at heart. They teach Naaman what it is to be a servant and to submit to the word of another. We see the hand of the Lord in this. Naaman wants to run away, but God comes after him. That's how it is this evening. Beloved congregation, how often have you run away from the word, thinking, "I thought"? That's not how it goes. That's too easy. And yet, the Lord is here again this evening. It is as if the Lord says to you, "Please don't run away again. Look unto me and be healed. Wash yourself in the Jordan River." And then, by the power of God's Spirit, a miracle happens. Those servants of Naaman don't know, like the little girl before, that they are servants of God at that moment. Now again, Naaman has to listen to somebody under his authority. Verse 14. "Then went he down." What a miracle. Naaman climbs off his chariot. By the power of God's Spirit, he takes off his clothes. That so emphasizes his dignity. And he enters the water of the Jordan. Naaman bows for the gospel. And then we must pay close attention to what it says. "And he dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of his servants." No! "According to the saying of the man of God." So it is not about the word of the servants, but it's about what the prophet had said. Here we see faith in exercise. He enters the water by believing the word of God. No more reasoning, no longer his own will, but unconditional faith in the promise that God offered him. "And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Congregation, do we believe God's promises in this matter? Naaman washes 7 times in the Jordan River. It portrays his total depravity. Will he not have doubted after having dipped down in the water for the 3rd time, for the 4th time? Will it really be true what the prophet has said? account on it, that it must have been a struggle. There are some among us who experience this and say, I've been putting my trust in God for so long, but I'm still the same. Yet, keep hoping for God's salvation. Even if nothing seems to change in your condition, even though the Lord tries you, your heart shall live that seek God. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Despair of yourself, but never despair of God. Cling to his word, of his promise, and thou shalt be clean. That is what Naaman experiences after having washed himself for the seventh time in obedience of faith. We read, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little boy, and he was clean. Of course he was clean, for he is faithful that promised. He that has spoken cannot lie. Congregation, Naaman was healed by faith in the promise of the gospel. It is incomprehensible to our minds, and yet it happened. That's how God justifies a sinner today, that we, like Naaman, bow to the gospel and look to Christ. By faith, God is no longer rightly angered with us because of our sin, but with his Son. Then God's children do still see their own leprosy. They will continue to see that. They will struggle with that for the rest of their lives. But God no longer sees it in those who flee to Christ and rest in faith on him and his obedience. Then you are righteous before God through faith, as the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23, answer 60 says, Christ's perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are imputed to me from God, as if never I had had nor committed sin, as if I had never been leprous, because that's how Naaman came out of the water, right? That's also the way every sinner who believes in Christ is healed from his leprosy and guilt of sin. As soon as a sinner receives Christ by faith, he is justified. Even if it's but a small faith which reluctantly touches the hem of the garment of the gospel, he is justified. Justified by him. Congregation, what a joy at the Jordan River, washed clean through faith. That faith bears fruit, as we hope to see next week, the Lord willing. In Christ, a fountain for sin and uncleanness is proclaimed. Oh, may God's Spirit make us bow down to the gospel and give us confidence to believe his word as it truly is. Oh, you unclean, wretched sinners without Christ, go by faith for the first time to the river of the rich and free gospel of the work of the Lord Jesus, and be washed in it for your justification. And you, that by grace may be called the Lord's people go by renewal through faith to the river of the rich and free gospel of the work of the Lord Jesus, and be washed again for your sanctification, and find out that Christ is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Amen.